Support for this program by Fairbanks, Alaska, the Golden Heart City. Go see a Gold Panthers game. Visit downtown art galleries or drive out to Chena Hot Springs. Exploring your home state is the COVID-safe way to enjoy the summer.
Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. Healer of the Water Monster is Dene author Brian Young's debut novel. The book centers around Nathan, an urban Dene youth, who encounters a holy being while visiting his grandmother on her traditional lands of the Navajo Nation. He is led on a journey that truly tests his bravery. Get ready for our July Book of the Month, where we'll visit with Brian to hear more about how he turned a dream into a novel. National Native News is next. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Vice President Kamala Harris hosted a Native vote discussion Tuesday with tribal leaders and voting advocates. In opening remarks, Harris mentioned barriers, including lack of access to polls. Harris says the administration is listening to tribes. Here's part of her remarks, which aired on C-SPAN.
We have been engaged with consultation with the tribes and tribal leaders in recognition of the government-to-government relationship and in recognition, therefore, of the need to consult with these leaders to make sure that whatever it is that we are doing to fix the problems, it is informed by what the leaders tell us are in fact the problems.
Leaders and advocates from five states took part in the meeting. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta in western Alaska is the second largest region in the U.S. without access to high-speed internet, but not for long. As KYUK's Greg Kim reports, one tribe plans to beam down broadband speeds from space.
The current state of internet access in the YK Delta is abysmal. $300 a month buys you internet service 100 times slower than what's offered in many U.S. cities. So the Akyak Native community, a YK Delta tribe, decided to take matters into its own hands. Using newly launched satellites, Akyak plans to install broadband internet by November of this year. Tribal Chief Mike Williams Sr. is excited for all the ways broadband could change life in Akyak.
It's going to improve the quality of life in all areas, healthcare, education, economic development, and other services. But we're so excited about catching up to the digital world.
Low Earth Orbit, or LEO satellites, will beam internet service into Akyak. The satellites are owned by OneWeb. Last month, OneWeb announced it had launched enough satellites to provide service to all of Alaska. Akyak says that will more than double internet speeds, have a higher data cap, and cost less than the current option. Other tribes in the YK Delta are following Akyak's lead. About half the tribes in the region have joined a consortium that will help them set up the same internet system in their community as Akyak's. They're planning on paying for it with a federal grant that has nearly $1 billion available for tribes to expand broadband access. The deadline to apply is September 1st. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kemp.
This year's class of Crow Reservation rookie firefighters in Montana were sent to their first blaze the same day they graduated training school. Taylor Stagner has more.
The Buffalo Pastor Fire earlier this month became a training ground for Crow firefighting rookies to test out newly learned skills. How fire works chemically, different approaches to fighting fire, and how to stay safe were all part of the curriculum. Carl Bighair ran the rookie school and says the opportunity for hands-on experience was an excellent way to test what they learned over the week of training.
This was a good opportunity for them to experience the whole thing, actually decline right on the fire.
Bighair says he sees the need for more firefighters in the near future, especially as fire season is expected to become more intense as summer continues. Last year, the Crow Reservation had 21 rookie firefighters. This year, only 7. Second-year firefighter Deshauna Anderson said that while there are fewer rookies this year, she's really impressed with their quality.
I feel like more of them are more determined to firefight. and I see them more on the line and willing to dig line and get things done, and I feel like this fire season is a lot hotter than last year.
For National Native News, I'm Taylor Stagner.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, dedicated to cancer research, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous population. A no-charge online risk assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme. This show is supported by the FX original series, Reservation Dogs. From Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi, Reservation Dogs follows the adventures of four Indigenous teens in rural Oklahoma. Reservation Dogs, streaming August 9th, exclusively FX on Hulu.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you live from my homelands, Ashirwitdui. Healer of the Water Monster is a book that we are going to jump in today. It is by Dene author Brian Young, and it calls upon a traditional story, but there is an added flair to it. And we're going to hear from our author today, just the approach he took. But the story follows a young man who returns to the Navajo Nation to visit his elder. And while he's there, not only does he get to reconnect with his family and his language, he also connects with a special being that we're going to hear about, and everyone that is tied to that one being. And today we are going to get insights into when books are created by Native authors, the opportunity that it is giving to readers. So we'll get into all of that today. And we also hope that you will join us too. You can give us a ring. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And the first 10 callers to make it on air to share their thoughts or ask their questions will receive a complimentary copy of Healer of the Water Monster, courtesy of HarperCollins Children's Books. So again, if you'd like to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is how you get into the conversation. And right now, we're going to go to Fort Defiance, Arizona, to say hello to Brian Young, who joins us today. Brian, thank you for joining us, and please feel free to further introduce yourself.
Thank you for the space. Yat eshekedo shidana, she'e Brian Young inishya. Hi, everyone. My name is Brian Young. I am an enrolled member of the Navajo Nation. I am originally from the Fort Defiance Sawmill area, but I currently live in Brooklyn, New York. And again, thank you for having me on the show.
Well, Brian, there is so much we can explore in this book, but let's go ahead and give them some of the setting. What would you like to share, setting things up?
Well, first and foremost, it is a middle grade novel, and that is a specific subset of YA or young adult. I have heard several people refer to it as young adult, but middle grade is a little bit younger than young adult. So the target demographic is 6th to 8th grade, or 10 to 13. And while I did write it specifically for young Navajo readers, I was hoping that the book would be able to reach a broader audience, older and also non-Native audience.
And so there's a big invitation into all this. Mm-hmm. Continue.
Yeah. And I guess plot synopsis. Nathan is an 11-year-old Dene Ashki, or young man. and he lives in Fort Defiance. I live in Fort Defiance, but Nathan lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and he is sent to his paternal grandmother's mobile home trailer site just north of Church Rock, New Mexico. And in the book, that area has been in a drought for about 30 years. And his Nolly, or his paternal grandmother, lives without running water or electricity because of how far away from the towns and the infrastructure. She just doesn't have access to those amenities. In addition to being conscious of water conservation, Nathan is doing a science experiment, and he is comparing the water consumption of traditional heirloom corn kernels that his Nolly had received from her grandmother versus store-bought corn kernels. And it is during this time that he gets lost in the desert at night and comes across a water monster. And for Navajos, we have our Hajine Bahanet, or our emergent story, or our creation mythology, and water monsters are in the third world. And in my author's note, I specifically make sure to say that water in all the Navajo stories, like, water monsters do not come up into the fourth world. But this is my fictional addition to the creation mythology, and I say that water monsters fall the first people, the first beings, into the fourth world and into the day, into the time that we are in right now. And so Nathan comes across a water monster. And in my book, in this fictional setup, I say that water monsters protect bodies of waters, such as lakes, ponds, rivers, and they, with their songs, are able to sing down the rains, and they are pretty much like water deities. And this particular water monster has been sick for 30 years. And because of his sickness, he hasn't been able to sing any of the rain songs, thereby causing the drought in the area. And in exchange for helping Nathan get out of the desert, Nathan agrees to find out what is sickening the water monster and hopefully heal him from whatever is causing him pain.
And there is a lot that you end up bringing up about, you know, of course, living in a community, having mixed families, and there's just so much explored in the different pages that you have provided to us. And Brian, for you, what's your hope on this book and who it'll reach?
From the very beginning, my hope, my biggest dream, was that young Navajo readers would be able to see themselves in the story. I grew up a very voracious reader, and in fact, libraries were one of my first babysitters, because my mom, when she'd take me to Gallup, would kind of drop me off at the library, and I would just spend hours upon hours looking up books, reading books. And I would just entertain myself with whatever I found. So stories were always a huge, important part of my youth and growing up. But the books that I was reading, the movies that I was watching, the video games that I was playing had no Native American protagonists. We were always secondary at best, or we were treated as environments, and we were always stereotypes. We were always wearing feathers. We were always speaking broken English, and I did not identify with what was available at that time. And growing up, like, I was a huge fan of the Harry Potter series. I attended, like, book releases, midnight book releases, watched all the movies in the theaters. But I remember one of my friends saying, "Why are you reading those books? Only white people get to go to that school." And that kind of just stuck with me and painted my reading experience, not just with Harry Potter, but with other books and book series that I was reading, that there were no Native characters. And at that age, you're just kind of looking for reflections of yourself and whatever you're doing. And I wasn't finding that. So with my book, Healer of the Water Monster, I'm hoping to provide that reflection. And in providing that reflection, I'm also hoping to say to young Navajo kids on the reservation in urban environments, that you too can be a protagonist. You too can be a hero. And I feel that that is a message that all Native kids, not just Navajos, need to hear. especially at that age range between 10 and 13, where there's a lot of milestones that they are crossing as young adults.
Sure, there's a lot of things that are forming in that age range. And showing this character as the hero, I think, really is exciting. And something that you also do, Brian, in terms of our traditional stories, a lot of times they are passed on. And they create this space that we connect to traditionally. And what you have done with this kind of blending, you are basically, it seems that you are telling these young individuals that you belong in this space as well. You are connected to this, you know, traditional circle by even putting a young man, you know, having conversations, making friends with holy beings. And I'd like for you to just expand on that about taking that approach.
Well, it wasn't such a radical idea to have a Navajo protagonist in my head, because in some ways I was already doing that with the books I was reading when I discovered I couldn't find any representations of myself if the author wasn't providing, you know, concrete details of the characters. I was inserting Navajos anywhere I could. And even when my mom would buy me some like coloring books, I was coloring all the characters the same shade of brown I was at it. So in that way, I guess I was indigenizing the content around me. But when it comes to blending both traditional and modern, that also was not as radical an idea to me, because as a person I got my bachelor's degree at Yale University and my master's at Columbia, I am kind of living in those two stratospheres of traditional and it's not a huge one to be participating in both. And there is a little bit of it's doable, and presenting the traditional stories in the Western step. And
Well, hang tight, Brian. We got to go to break here, and he's actually going to read some of this book for us coming up right after the break, and I know you don't want to miss that, but I do want to remind you, it is our July book of the month, and if you would like to join us, talk directly to Brian, you can call in at 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We have 10 books to share with you today, courtesy of HarperCollins Children's Books. Phone lines are open. You got to make it on air, though. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Go ahead and give us a ring, and you can ask your questions, too. Brian's ready. The remains of 9 children were returned to the Rosebud Sioux tribe nearly 140 years after they were buried at the Carlisle Indian School in Pennsylvania. Remains of another Alaska Native person was also returned. We'll learn about the journey to bring these relatives home on the next Native America Calling.
Support by Roswell Park, who know tribal communities face persistent challenges in health equity, such as cancer and higher death rates. The Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center is dedicated to advancing cancer research that will lead to translatable science, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous populations worldwide. Are you at high risk for cancer? A no-charge online assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Mesota Pueblo, and it is our July Book of the Month. This month, we have invited Brian Young to join us. He is a Diné author. The name of his book is Healer of the Water Monster. And again, that invitation is there for you. If you'd like to join us, go ahead and dial in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And we are also giving away 10 copies of the book. To get one, you just got to make it on air. Dial in now if you'd like to join us, 1-800-996-2848. And Brian, I turn it to you. Take us deeper into the book. I know there's a section that you're excited to read.
Of course. This is chapter 2 after Nathan has been dropped off at his Nellie's place, and he's kind of very uncomfortable. He's having trouble sleeping. And so this is the top of page 26. Nellie said, "It's okay not to be comfortable out here." She must have sensed Nathan's lack of enthusiasm. "It's tough living, and not everyone finds it relaxing, Shanella. We have a long summer, and to keep that attitude, it's going to be even longer. Ashona, be patient. Give it time. For me?" "Okay, Nellie," Nathan said, and the kettle started whistling. Nathan inserted a sprig of lavender and 2 sage leaves into it. "Are your friends working on their projects over the summer, too?" "No. Just me." "Oh, what are they doing?" It took off. Wesley was going to summer camp, while Stephen was going on some family vacation to Disneyland or Disney World. "What about your other friends?" That question stung. Nathan didn't really have any other friends. Wesley and Stephen were the only ones who didn't call him Butterball. He folded his arms over his stomach and wished they would go away. "The tea should be ready," Nathan thought. He poured steaming liquid into the mugs that Nellie had brought out. Nellie blew on the tea in her cup, took a sip, and grinned. Shiltakun. Come over here." She pulled him closer to her. He rested his head on her soft shoulder, and she continued to take small sips of her tea. Nellie inhaled deeply and said, "So look at all the font, Nathan. Font means star." And she pointed up with her lips. "In the Navajo way, each and every font has a story behind it." "That's a lot of stories," Nathan said. Nellie chuckled, "Yes." "Only Hatashi, medicine men and medicine women, are able to remember each and every story. The Hatashi say that the font sing their stories to each other, and once you know their stories, they'll sing to you as well." Nathan looked at the scar, at the sky, and stared at the Milky Way cluster. "Do they sing to you?" "Sometimes. When I pay real good attention. Each Joshi, if you pay attention, you'll notice other things too. Out here, away from the big cities, the holy beings have a much easier time connecting with us. Sometimes, like little Chase wearing turquoise necklaces," she smiled at him. "Respect them and let them do their things while we do ours." Normally, Nathan would have shrugged off Nellie's comment, but he had seen that footprint and the horned toad that wore a turquoise necklace. Nellie continued, "Once you earn the stories, Shanella, you realize that the brighter the star, the bigger the story. And in my heart, I believe your story is going to be as big as the sun." Nathan rested his head against her shoulder again. Nellie always knew what to say to make him feel right about himself. Perhaps these next few months weren't going to be that bad. And I will stop right there.
And there you have it. Brian Young, he read to you straight from his new book, his debut novel, Healer of the Water Monster. If you'd like to talk with him directly, we sure hope you'll dial in. Give us a ring at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines and give away our first book. June Ann is on the line in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening in on KUNM. Thanks for giving us a ring. Go ahead. You're connected to Brian.
Yata, hey, Brian. Thank you so much for writing this book. I look forward to reading it. I lived out on the reservation for a number of years at Sweetwater, Arizona. Water haulers came every day, and until then, I had no idea what a hardship it was for so many people to have water, and we take it for granted. It's like gold, and I do everything I can to educate people and hope I can use your book as a source of that and help heal the water monster. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, June Ann. Again, if you'd like to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Plenty of books left to share with you. And Brian, anything you want to tell June Ann?
Thank you for that comment. part of my experiences growing up in Nazlini, my grandparents, my Masanadoche, maternal grandparents, had cattle, begashi in Tibet, and we would have to haul water for them to drink water in Nazlini because that area is water landlocked and there's no water there. So a lot of Nathan's struggles with living without water mirror my experiences at that time, at that age.
Junan, thank you for your call. And Brian, water plays a really big role in many of the moments in the book. And you're also teaching us about some of the land too, and even contamination and how it can hurt, such special beings and not only family members. Talk to me a little bit about weaving in, some history of what, has happened to the land and challenges to clean water. Anything you want to share, Brian?
Of course. Well, definitely being indigenous implies that there is an inherent relationship to the land, that the mountains are holy. Abininat, there are holy beings that either live there or did an important event there. Well, as a young kid, when my grandma and grandpa and I were traveling looking for cows, they'd often point to a hill and say that's where a certain holy being resides, or in a valley, that's where the warrior twins fought this monster. So growing up like that, there was a tangibility to the creation stories, to the traditional stories. There was a realness that I grew up with. And with Healer of the Water Monster, I approached it in the same way. I imagined what it would be like if those creation stories continued from when they ended, but didn't end. They just kept on going, and they kept going into our current modern times. And especially with our history of being a resource nation, in that a lot of our interactions with the United States government have been for resources such as coal. I feel that that has to be brought up. That has to be part of the conversation if we're talking about land and the health of the land. And I feel that's why a lot of non-Navajo authors who want to use the culture forget that in addition to the traditional stories, they are pegged to the land. And the land has a history. The land has a lived experience. So if you are going to evoke the traditional stories, the holy beings, you have to pay homage to what they have endured back in those traditional stories and are currently enduring our modern times with those resource extractions. And with Healer of the Water Monster, I don't want to spoil it too much, but there is that conversation of what effects are happening not only to the land from those resource extractions, but what is happening to those holy beings. Because as I said earlier, a certain holy being lived on that mountain. So if you were to dig into that mountain, how does it not only affect the trees, the animals, how does it affect the holy being that lives in that mountain?
And I think putting these two together is really important. And we know a lot of people grow up with this kind of education. And maybe some of what he just said stirred something up in you and you'd like to share some thoughts with him. You can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Brian Young is with us today. He is our featured author. And we're talking about the book, Healer of the Water Monster. Let's go ahead and take another call. We have Kalindra, who is on the line in Arizona, tuned in on KUYI. I think she's in Mokopi. Thanks for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Loma, Brian Young. It's a blessing to hear your voice today. And I'm all shooken up because it's really difficult to find someone who knows our creation story. And our creation stories are all similar. Our young ones are not here with us, and they're into the TV to the TV, then the latest music, which our native songs have no connections with. And it's just a blessing to hear someone that has the education on our creation story and to write about it, to get it out there, because that's what our younger ones need. They need to educate on our history. Thank you, Brian, for doing this.
Thank you for your call. And Brian, anything you want to tell her?
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I definitely feel that a lot of our kids have the opportunity to learn the stories and find value in them. I definitely found value in the traditional stories and the teachings that they were imparting onto me. And I feel if it wasn't for Hajine Bahane and the Warrior Twin stories, I wouldn't have been able to get through my education experience at Yale and at Columbia. Thank you for that.
Indeed. And now we go to Malachi, who is in White Springs, New Mexico, tuned in on KGLP. Thanks for giving us a ring. Go ahead. You're on air.
Yes. I would like to, like how you said earlier, that you lived somewhere, like grew up somewhere near Fort Defiance, and you used to visit the Gallup Library. I would like to ask if you would, like, go back to, like, take a visit back to the Gallup Library and, like, read a book you wrote, like this book right now, sign other books, and just, like, give away other books like that.
Thank you, Malachi. Thanks for reaching out. Brian, go ahead.
Yes, that is in the works. Due to COVID, my publicist doesn't want to do any in-person events, so largely, I have been doing a lot of virtual events, but as things progress and numbers go down and as COVID starts to become more contained, I do intend on coming back to Dinepikeya, the Navajo homelands and surrounding areas, to interact more with people. But as of right now, my publicist isn't very active because of the COVID situation.
And Brian, I'm also told that Malachi is a young reader. Anything you want to tell him specifically?
Read, read, read. Reading is going to take you so far. And you can also be a hero. You are not worthless. You can be a hero of the story.
Thank you for that. And again, Malachi, calling more. Good to hear your voice. Let's go to another caller. We have, I think it's Madeline in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Thanks for giving us a ring. Go ahead. You're on air.
Hi, Brian. Madeline here, commuting from Santa Fe to Albuquerque. And I'm just listening to the radio, and I feel so happy that I got to hear about the story and your book you just wrote. And I feel so grateful that we are all having the opportunity to be heroes and water protectors. And I wanted to ask you if you have any illustrations that go along with your book.
Okay, Brian?
I do not have any illustrations for the book. It is, as of right now, currently just a middle grade novel, about 360 pages. But Shanto Begay did the artwork for the cover, and it is astonishing. It is stunning and beautiful and anything beyond I could have ever imagined. I'm so thankful for Shanto's contribution to Healer of the Water Monster.
Madeline, thank you for your call. And again, phone lines are open. Join us. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We have 6 books left. And something that Malachi made me think of, and I know you're very passionate about access to good reads, access to books by Indigenous authors too. And Brian, talk to me more about this, of your one day dream of giving good access to our young readers, especially there in the Navajo Nation or in our Native Nations.
Well, Walter, I have been exceedingly blessed to have been published by one of the big four, one of the big publishers in the world, HarperCollins. Heartdrum is an imprint of HarperCollins. And with that, there are so many resources that smaller publishing houses don't really have access to, such as, getting into bookstores such as Barnes and Noble. And I have been kind of going across the Southwest, Albuquerque, Phoenix, Flagstaff, and I have been seeing Healer of the Water Monster on those bookstore shelves. And that's been a lovely, amazing experience for me. That was one of my dream goals, was having my book on Barnes and Noble. But what I have been uncovering is that these big cities have access to the stories, but the Navajo Nation, the Nepakea, and the people living on there don't have that same access. It's not as readily accessible because they have to travel to these big border towns where there is like an indie bookstore, or there is a Barnes & Noble, or the only other option is to have it mailed. And because of that, I know that there are a number of Navajo young readers that aren't getting exposed to it. So what I'm trying to do right now is find an infrastructure of distribution to directly on the Nepakea. And that's been a kind of a challenge. But hopefully what I'm learning and what I'm doing will provide a pathway for future Navajo authors who want to write for young Navajo readers, that they'd be able to use this infrastructure that I'm hoping to find.
Well, I'm excited to hear, what becomes of all that. Very exciting to be talking with Brian Young today. He is our featured author. The name of his debut novel is Healer of the Water Monster. If you'd like to talk with him directly, now's the time to dial in. We have a handful of books to share with you when you share your comments on air. And of course, ask your questions too. Go ahead, give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We'll learn more about some of the other characters that move this story today. But again, we're ready to hear from you. Go ahead and dial us now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. I look forward to hearing from you. Go ahead.
Smoking gave me COPD, which makes it harder and harder for me to breathe. I have a tip for you. If your doctor gives you 5 years to live, spend it talking with your grandchildren. Explain to them that your grandpa's not going to be around anymore to share his wisdom and his love. I haven't figured out how to do that yet, and I'm running out of time.
COPD makes it harder and harder to breathe and can cause death. You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. And in the book, Healer of the Water Monster, the main character, Nathan, faces a lot of things. And he is also very brave. And that bravery gives him a journey of a lifetime. And he also does some figuring out. And he figures out that his self-worth is worth a lot. And that kind of story is something that often we like to share with our young people, that they have a lot of worth, that we need you, that your life is important. And when we have books that do this and also invite in a Native space, what do you think that does for our youth? And if you are a young reader, what do you think about that? Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. The author of this book is with us, Brian Young. And Brian, I got another caller who would like to talk with you, so let's go ahead and bring him in. We have Elaine in Dulce, New Mexico, tuned in on KCIE. Elaine, thanks for reaching out. You're connected to Brian.
Good afternoon. Brian, this is Elaine. I'm very interested in a copy of the book because I have several grandchildren ranging from 13 to 2 years old, and I'd like a copy of it for them, and I'd like to see where I can purchase one or have a copy. And I'm very proud and amazed that you have written this story, and I can't wait to read it.
Well, Elaine, thanks for reaching out. And you know what? You're one of our 10, so one will definitely be coming directly to you. And Brian, of course, if there are listeners who do want to know how to connect with you and the book, where do they find it?
Of course. Well, I have my author website, brianlyoung.com. And I am pretty active on Facebook, Brian Young, or B. Young Writes, W-R-I-T-E-S. I'm also on Instagram at B. Young Writes. Again, B-Y-O-U-N-G-W-R-I-T-E-S. And occasionally on Twitter, B. Young. And this is where I couldn't get the screen name, so it's like Vitress. B. Young Writes was already claimed, and so it's like Retress or something like that. B-Y-O-U-N-G-W-R-I-T-R-E-S, I believe is how it's spelled on Twitter.
All right. Well, there you go. Happy reading, Elaine. And when your young people get their eyes in this book, if you want to write a review or have them write us a review, we're always open ears on that. You can always reach out to us, comments@nativeamericacalling.com. Let's go ahead and say hello to another one of our callers. Celeste is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Celeste, thanks for giving us a ring. Go ahead. You're on air.
Hi. I'm really interested in the story. And I tutor kids through the OASIS program in Albuquerque. And although it's not specifically for natives, I really try to bring different cultural ideas to Anglo and Hispanic kids as well. And I would love to help get your book into schools and school libraries and get it to the OASIS library and just get it out there to more children. I think it's wonderful what you're writing.
Sounds great, Celeste. Thank you for that. And we now go to Jessica, who is in Leech Lake, Minnesota, tuned in today. Jessica, thank you for giving us a ring. Go ahead. You're connected to Brian.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment that I'm very thankful for your program today. I just wanted to say that I had a calling in my heart to drive to the Water Protector Camp. That is out by Thief River Falls, and I have no idea what I'm doing. Sorry. But I'm just driving and listening to the program, and it makes me feel I don't know. I have no words to explain it, but it's really great hearing everything and the topic, and it all just, it really helps my soul to hear things like this. So thank you.
Well, Jessica, it sounds like a lot of things are connecting for you. Wish you safe travels. And Brian, anything you want to tell either Jessica or Celeste?
Yeah, thank you so much for being receptive to Nathan and his journey. And yeah, there's a lot of emotions to the topics that are being discussed in my book, specifically with No Dapple was pretty high when I was doing another revision and selling it to publishing houses. So this is a very current topic of water protection and water conservation. And I definitely feel that having a broad exposure to different cultures and different mindsets and philosophies help children become more compassionate and ready to tackle on a whole plethora of challenging topics.
Indeed. And even one of your characters ties directly to some of this of standing up for the environment, standing up for the water. Tell us more about this special character. Go ahead, Brian.
Which one?
talking about mom. Talking She's about... at a protest.
Okay. The mother character. Her name is Janet. She actually doesn't play as much of a role as I wanted her to in this book, but she does participate in protests. But I can say I am working on the follow-up or sequel to Healer of the Water Monster, and Janet does play a much bigger role in this upcoming story.
Well, there you go, listeners. Stay tuned. And Brian, you know, there are a couple of other characters that Brian calls on to, you know, that have very significant stories and bring about other issues and other topics that, you know, being able to present something like this is opening a lot. Anything you want to share about the other characters we meet in the book?
Well, definitely. I'd love to talk about Uncle Jet, because his story and his healing also mirrors Pond, who is the water monster's journey towards health as well. Uncle Jet is Nathan's father's younger brother, and in the Navajo way, that relationship, Nathan would refer to Uncle Jet as Shijaya, my younger father. And Uncle Jet would refer to Nathan as my son. So with that, Uncle Jet is a former Marine who had served overseas. And in my initial draft, I had Uncle Jet as a veteran of the Iraq and Freedom Tour. But my editor suggested that I not reference the Iraqi Freedom Tour, because that would peg the story to a very specific time and very specific place. And she said that if I weren't to peg it in that way, then future generations could easily attach more easily to that storyline of an alcoholic or substance dependent family member. And so I thought about the future generations and made that compromise of, okay, if future kids, because, you know, a lot of Native kids encounter family members, friends, who are suffering from substance dependency. So I wanted to be able to open that storyline to future generations as well. And in addition to healing the water monster, Nathan takes it upon himself to convince Uncle Jet to participate in an Ndot ceremony or enemy way ceremony to help combat some of the habits and negative emotions that he brought upon himself while serving across the ocean.
And, you know, his journey is also about considering all options to heal. And you make a big, you know, or it comes up a lot of all the things that we have to do this. And I find it interesting, too, that some of the healing is coming from support from family and, you know, the different programs that we have done talking about this, of people who are living with addiction and their journey. And we talk about that support circle, and it was really great to just kind of see how we also weave our young people into this. And again, you've said that the young person is the hero in all of this. So a lot going on, and I know there are more people who would like to chat with you. So you know what? Let's go back to the phone lines. We're going to go ahead and go to Ron, who's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening in on KUNM. Ron, thanks for reaching out. You're on air.
Hi. It's glad to take my call.
Hello.
And Brian, I just got to say that this is a wonderful adaptation of what you actually have experienced during your lifetime. And it's touching in the fact that, you know, you grew up that life and you know quite a bit of how people, especially Navajo people, not in particular, but young people as a whole in approaching life and what it has, all the obstacles, and definitely addiction is one of them. And what you've taken these subjects and part of your life experiences and transferred them into something people can actually identify with. And I guess my main question would be, have you considered or thought about maybe making a video or a movie of that type of experiences? You know, I know it's so great in its own, but I would imagine a lot younger people could really identify if you were to think of adapting your storyline to a movie production.
Ron, he is so ready for this question. Brian, go ahead.
I've been waiting for someone to say this. Actually, Healer of the Water Monster started off as a two-hour feature-length script. I was living in Albuquerque, New Mexico at the time, working in the native film industry. And at that time, a lot of us were working for free on each other's movies as like directors, producers, actors, anything and everything. And I kind of gravitated towards the script writing. But whenever we would approach executive producers or people with finances or the ability to finance our movies, at that time, we were encountering this prejudiced notion that there is no native audience. There are no markets for native voices. So when I was writing the first draft of Healer of the Water Monster, I knew that I would be encountering that wall again, that racist mentality that there's no market for native stories. And so that is actually why I decided to write a book and needed to get an MFA from Columbia University in creative writing so that I could learn how to write a book and not a script. But yes, long story short, this is kind of my overall plan with Healer of the Water Monster, is to demonstrate that there is indeed a market for native voices, hashtag Navajo voice, hashtag own voices. And in addition to demonstrating that, hopefully if this book is successful enough, I can use the money from the book to produce on my own a film interpretation of this story, because that's how I envisioned it at first. But again, a lot of it just comes down to the power and finances of who can produce a movie, because they aren't very affordable. They're very expensive productions. So, and with this story, like, I feel that to do it justice, I'm going to need a lot of money. So long story short, yes, it is in my career plans to eventually do a film cinematic interpretation of Healer of the Water Monster.
Oh, Brian, that is really exciting. Ron, hey, thanks for asking that. And just considering the conversation we just had yesterday where, you know, Reservation Dogs is premiering and, you know, it's there and we're going to see how much of a pull, you know, a native story brings. And we already kind of got a prelude to that, too, with Rutherford Falls, another program that we took a look at. And they're making a second season. They got the green light. And we know how this works, too. You know, there's got to be an interest if people are going to invest in a second season. And so Rutherford Falls got their second one. And so, Brian, I think we are definitely in interesting times of seeing this as a reality of seeing, yes, native stories are what people want to hear, want to read, want to see. Very interesting. Let's take another call. We got Jen in Athens, Texas, tuned in online. Thanks for giving us a ring, Jen. Real quick, your thoughts.
Thank you, Tara. Appreciate you taking my call. I'm a Cherokee activist living in East Texas. I've lived other places and been in activism many years. I love that Brian is writing for the youngsters to become activists, and I want to congratulate him for getting on the bookshelves of Barnes and Nobles. And yet it's even more important getting the books to the res. So that's awesome. But in listening to, I'd like to encourage him to, and he probably will anyway, have audio books, because when I'm reading a Native author's, or listening to a Native author's own voice, it's very important to me, whether it's Cherokee or in Scott Mama Day, or I like it in they're reading their own.
Sure.
Work.
You know, a lot opens up when you get to hear from that author directly. And Brian, thanks for reading for us today, too. Real quick, anything you want to leave us with? Anything you want to tell Jen? Real quick.
Yes, there is already an audiobook version of Healer of the Water Monster read by Sean Taylor Corbett, who identifies with the Blackfoot Nation. And we spent a week working together with me, my teaching him how to read Navajo, because he is Blackfoot and not Navajo. And he did a wonderful job just jumping into the Navajo language, because it can be very hard. And yeah, Gila the Water Monster is available as an audiobook.
There you go. Well, everybody, we thank you for giving us a ring. Again, thank you for tuning in today with our visit with Brian Young. Name of the book, again, is Healer of the Water Monster. Thank you for being with us, Brian. Also, thanks to HarperCollins Children's Books for providing copies to our listeners today. And we invite you back again tomorrow when we sign on air once again. I'm Tara Gatewood.
Looking to get your high school diploma? Southwestern Indian Polytechnic Institute offers Native Americans ages 18 or older training and preparation courses for the high school equivalency diplomas, in person and online, beginning September 6th. This no-charge program includes testing fees and other resources will be available to help with supplies and living expenses. Space is limited. Application deadline is August 6th. More by calling 505-382-4287 or at sipi.edu, who support this show.
Skook dash, I knew could the girl was each bar with them. Mata Udigi, Chupapa Wap, was her game or up a wap or a mice. A doggy up a duck, Hapa Up or her mice. A Mohanye, ensure kids now dot gov or a Mohagur good. Humako Gigi, Wilwak, Wilwak, Utas Geek, White, Wilwak, Jude, Jude, Humok, Gita, Bumajet, Himok Centers for Medicare to Medicaid, Hachipka.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.